As the Mayor Public Affairs Program at WHLC, then on WHLC.com, typical day for the mayor would be, you know, meet with people in the town and also all meet with the staff and everything. But you throw in maybe a weekend of snow possibility, and we had snow this past weekend, and then you've got an overturned tanker truck, and you have all the other things about power. What's a typical day?
Well, Steve, this has been kind of a roller coaster ride. Before I came out, I was talking with the town manager, Josh Ward. He was reflecting, saying, you know, in the past, the winter used to be kind of a downtime, but there's no such thing as a downtime in Highlands, North Carolina now. We've got a lot of projects that have to be dealt with right now to keep them moving, and we have to make these kind of preparatory decisions now with planning.
And reading on your mayor on duty, we never close now.
After writing that, I was saying, the winter can close us. And right now, The winter's decided we're not going to operate as usual with those single-digit temperatures. When you get to those kind of temperatures, the enthusiasm for being outside diminishes significantly.
That we are recording this on Thursday, getting ready for the snow and everything else. The Highlands Playhouse was being demolished.
I was reflecting, it's kind of a bittersweet day. There were so many wonderful events and memories in that building. It will be, by the time we're broadcast this program, the Playhouse will be gone, like the Bank of America building. And then, of course, Bill's Soda Shop on the corner of 4th and Main, that's scheduled to be demolished too. But here's what I would say about the Playhouse. Yes, that old building is gone, but the people that really make that organization, the Mountain Theater Company, and the people that work so hard to bring theater to Highlands, that's not gone. It's just now in a new modern facility. The spirit there is still here, and we should all look forward to their new, exciting, upcoming season.
I remember coming out of Bryson's, you were coming in, and it was cold. And I said, hey, we dodged that ice storm. You said, yeah. And now we have another storm coming in this weekend. Of course, we're on Sunday here playing this back, but snow.
I can't take it personally, but we were going in giving warnings about the ice, and we weren't just making that up. I was following every emergency bulletin from the National Weather Service. Our town staff, we were all ready and saying, this is going to hit. We didn't get a lot of ice. Yeah. Our electrical crews were on duty. They made some minor reconnections in isolated situations. The roads did not become impassable for days like we thought. So we were really lucky. And what's amazing to me is how selective that weather was. Down on War Woman Road, just a few miles from us, they had trees with ice that blocked the road for several days. The power lines were down. It was a very spotty type situation. But we've got another one coming in this weekend, and the prediction is snow. And from everything that we know from the current bulletins, we will get significant snow. The forecast is for a light powdery snow, which is good, and hopefully that will happen. We'll have our crews ready to go after we dodged that bullet with the ice storm. Sunday night and Monday night, it just got down to single-digit temperatures, brutally cold. I walk into the office in Town Hall, and Joe Allison, our director of electrical department, was in talking with the town manager, Josh Ward. And Joe said, Mayor, thank goodness we had that third circuit operating, because he says the load on our electric system during those cold mornings was very high, and that helped us manage providing that power to all the people now that use electric heat, whether it be a space heater or an entire house system. That was really critical that we had that circuit. This week, we also received the bid for the fourth circuit. It was within budget. Hopefully, we can get the contractor to start work on that maybe in March or April. But that fourth circuit will serve the business district and really enhance our grid even more. Joe was kind of joking with me and said, you know, Mayor, once that one's in, we won't have to worry about the load capacity with our grid for the rest of our lives. I said, well, that's good for most people the rest of their lives. With me going on 78, it might not be that long, but it could be longer. But I understand what he's saying. For the next decade, we ought to be in real good shape being able to handle the power demands that will be coming.
As always, the crews are ready for the snow. And just stay off of 911 for as long as possible. We have people that are taking calls at the town.
If we have a snowstorm, it's during the week, just call into the town, and our people at the front desk will take in the report. Then they go on a radio and notify our electric crews, our road crews, about a problem. During the weekend, what we will have is what we call a kind of a kickover system. People won't be in 911, but there will be a staff member on duty. The calls that come in will then go to that person's cell phone. They will take the information, and then they will have at their house or where they are, and then they'll radio the outage to our crews to respond. I know people tend to want to call 911. Hopefully, we won't have to do any of that. Again, getting back to talking with our electric department, some of the larger utilities like Duke, they have smart meters where they can monitor directly a house, whether it has power or not. We will probably work toward that type of a system in the future. But as Joe pointed out, it's very expensive to put those kind of metering systems in. And if you're a big utility like Duke, where you have like 5 million customers, you can spread those costs out to a large customer base. When you have 3,000 customers, you don't have that flexibility in spreading the cost out, and it really is an impact on the system. But we will be looking at ways to improve our system even beyond just adding the circuits.
So on the papers, and of course we talked about this last week, and the redistricting, you might bring up room tax, and you've got some ideas of what you'd like to add to the conversation.
Yes, there will be a public hearing that the county will hold on February the 10th. Before then, though, the Commissioner Cheryl and I are going to be sitting down discussing the issues about redistricting and also talk about the room tax that the county administers and so forth. So that meeting will be taking place.
Other projects, and you have a whole list. And I don't know how long we've been talking about Dog Mountain, the Waterline Project. Of course, we'll start with Mirror Lake and that project. On to the next phases.
Our attorney developed what we call an interlocal agreement with the county, where we'll be able to transport the dredging materials from Mirror Lake and place them at the old landfill site off of Rich Gap Road. That's been a long administrative process. Now we'll have to get an agreement between the town and the county to proceed with that plan. Also, McGill Engineering, once that is secured, will be finalizing the construction plan for dredging Mirror Lake. We will have a public meeting where people can learn about what will be happening. That's one project that we'll be working on in the coming weeks.
Dog Mountain. I don't know how long we've been talking about Dog Mountain and that water tank.
Getting the go-ahead to do that project and letting the contract took several years. The actual construction that Stillwell Enterprises has been doing, it's been moving pretty fast, pretty much on schedule. The last big challenge for them to complete that project calls for a new water tank up at the top of the Dog Mountain subdivision. I know that they're working on doing that now, but a lot of the new pipe installation has been put into place. And then once all of that is done, when weather permits, they will go back and resurface the Dog Mountain Road where they had to tear it up for installing the new water line. That water line will be a 6-inch line and will really improve service to that residential area. With these cold temperatures, we've had some old water lines outside the town limit. Most of them are 2-inch galvanized lines that have been in the ground for like 50 years. We've had some areas where we've had the freezing of those lines. It's puzzling to us because many of them are 3 feet underground. Over the years, people have been adding on to the lines. The capacity's been challenged, and now we're having some problems, which translates into replacement of those lines down the road. We've already got grants in to do those kind of replacements on a number of roads out near Webmont there's a line that needs to be replaced for the tune of, I believe, about $750,000. We think we're going to get some grant money from the state to start those kind of projects. But that's going to be a real challenge for us in the future here, and that is taking up those old lines and putting in new ductile iron 6-inch water lines wherever possible. There is a leak in our water system at the corner of 106 First Street and Main Street. It's a mysterious leak that pops up from time to time and then it goes away. Where it's coming up out of the ground doesn't necessarily mean that's where the leak actually is. It could be up the road or somewhere else. I know this sounds crazy, but we're really waiting for there to be a break to where we can see exactly where it is and then go in and make the repair there. But we don't want to get into, if you will, a process of chasing the leak, saying, oh, it's not here, so let's just keep, you know, excavating Main Street or 106, trying to find it, and then it causes unnecessary delays, and we have to shut lanes down. And we're monitoring that, and when we think we know exactly where that leak is, of course we'll go and repair it.
And when you brought that up a few months ago, I've got to keep looking for it. I haven't seen it reappear.
It just popped up about a week ago.
It did, okay.
And guess what, Steve? It'll go away, and it has done that. It just occur, and then it's gone, and then it comes back. Our retired public works director, Lamar Nick, said, the problem is if it's under 64, we'll have to go through about a foot of asphalt and paving material or just to get to where the leak is. So something we'd have to be real careful about.
Let's get to something more attainable in our lifetime.
Okay.
The Boys and Girls Club, moving forward, we're waiting for a letter.
We've been working now for several months with what we call the PARTEF department. It is a state agency that manages recreation departments that were funded through a federal grant system. And in fact, our recreation department, with all that property that was acquired, is under the PARTEF system. They have reviewed our request and memorandum of understanding with the Boys and Girls Club to construct after-school facility that the Boys and Girls Club would operate. They gave us a verbal approval of the plan, and now we're waiting for the official letter. As soon as that letter arrives, then we will work with the Boys and Girls Club, Mike Kistner and Carmen Waite, and say, you've got the green light. Let's start moving forward with making this project a reality.
Well, let's go to a red light that we're talking about with Little Bear Pen, and that seems to be helping these residents get in and get out of the community. It costs more money.
And as the mayor, sometimes I look at projects and say, gosh, it costs more money than we anticipated. What were we thinking? What we were doing? But I was going by Little Bear Pen on 64 this week, and I saw that system working where there's a red light if a car's coming in and somebody's trying to come on from Little Bear Pen onto 64. And I said, that system costs the town more than we anticipated. We were working with DOT. The residents who contributed, they had to pay more too. That was kind of frustrating because we had a fixed price when we said we were going to commit to this project. But then looking back on it and say, yes, it costs more, but it really helps the people that live in that neighborhood. It enhances their property values because there's a better way to get in and out of their subdivision. So it was well worth it. It was needed. It's a great project, and I hope that it'll continue to provide a safe access for the residents there.
Before we get to a shout out that was in the Highlander and in the papers, of course, every Thursday when they come out, the police had to euthanize a fox.
And it happened on Thursday morning near the PAC Center in the residential area. It'll probably be on Facebook, and there'll be a lot of wild ideas about what happened. So let me just tell everyone what happened. Police received a call that there was a fox staggering and wandering around near the PAC Center. A seasoned patrolman investigated the situation, and unfortunately, that fox was foaming and bleeding from the mouth, and the police officer determined that it needed to be put down. And that was done. and it has been sent to Wildlife Resources for further analysis. We don't take those situations lightly. We hate to see that happen, but it was a clear danger to the public, and that poor animal was really suffering. So that's what took place.
This past week, we were dealing with the closing of the Cashers Road, going east and west, and unloading all of that propane is taking a while.
It was a 10,000-gallon propane tanker trailer. It occurred right past the Bear Shadow area on the Jackson County line going down toward Cashers. The fortunate thing was the driver survived and was not seriously injured. And if you look at the photographs, you wonder, how did that happen? That was the good news. Unfortunately, the way that tanker trailer was positioned, they couldn't just simply pump the propane, and it was loaded with thousands of gallons of propane. They couldn't pump it out. They had to basically pipe it up to the top of the road and burn it off, which took a lot of time. I hate to see a company lose that fuel, but you know, that's the way they decided to do it. The state patrol was in charge of managing that project. Hopefully the road will be open soon. Steve, here's the problem we have. We have very tight roads leading to the plateau and all these venues in the mountains. And it just takes one mistake or one accident to really wreak havoc with the flow of traffic. That's the situation that we found ourselves in end of the week.
Well, we do have such quality people, and just because that's they're doing their job. And the photo of the week in the Thursday papers, Chief Holland named law enforcement first responder of the year, and a couple more that were standing next to her.
That was a great honor. I know they had a banquet where they honored the recipients. Chief Holland actually shared her speech with me about their sense of duty and commitment to the public and self-improvement and professionalism. It was a really moving speech that she made, and I want to congratulate her and all the first responders for everything they do. They're in it to serve other people, and we ought to always be mindful of our first responders and their commitment they make to the public.
She was pictured with Nathaniel Breedlove. I know you're aware of this. EMS First Responder of the Year, and Chuck Norton, Firefighter First Responder of the Year.
Congratulations to all of them. Well deserved.